live from the Chicago Sun-Times Chicago Reader Studio on Racine Avenue, this is the Ben Jarofsky Show. Today on the program, it's the return of David Glowatz, a.k.a. Mr. Bike. And now your host, also Mr. Bike. He loves riding his bike. Chicago Reader columnist Ben Jarofsky.
Yeah, hello, everybody. Ben Jarofsky here. We are live from the Chicago Sun-Times. Dave Glowatz in the studio, a huge Joe Biden fan. with his bell, it wouldn't be Dave Glowatz.
Mr. Biden always makes me ring my bell.
Yes. Where's the little piece of paper you want me to read?
You have to wing it this time, Ben. After all these years, I think by now you know who I am and what I do.
I know, but I love that paper. I love the blue.
I wanted to see if you could handle it on your own.
Well, we call him Mr. Bike. He's the world's most renowned expert on biking in the city of Chicago. He has a blog about biking. He wrote a book about biking. He rode a bike here. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And
the bell's not on it right now, though. It's right here.
But he's also an expert on Chicago politics. In the old days, the roles were reversed. He would interview me, and now I interview you. So yeah, better have some answers to these questions, young man.
I've got a whole list
of questions.
They may not be to your questions.
Okay.
In the spirit of Rahm Emanuel.
Man, what's the matter with your voice?
I've got a little laryngitis.
Wow, you all right? Want some water?
Got water. Thanks.
All right, boy. Okay, go easy now.
You're a champ, dude. Yeah, thanks for coming in.
I know.
He's playing.
Wow.
Seductive.
This is some secret stuff.
Anyway, I just have
Can I interrupt for a second? Dennis, I still haven't heard you do your Pritzker imitation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You haven't?
No.
Well, the one we would always do, it's really not that good.
I'm not a perfect person.
I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Do your Rahner imitation. And Marge Simpson.
Oh, okay, put a quarter in the jukebox, pal.
His Lisa Simpson? Unbelievable.
No, it's not. It's not even that good.
It's incredible as well.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks.
Jamie Pritzker.
Anyway,
he loves football.
16-0.
I don't believe he's really. Do you believe JB Pritzker's a football fan?
It's hard to know everything about him, right?
Yeah. I don't know. It just doesn't strike me as a day. All right. Let's get down to the big issue of the day. Well, there's two issues of the day when I talk locally with you. One will be about Lincoln Yards, the update. You're the world's foremost authority on the Lincoln Yards TIF deal. You write about it. Taking the deep dive into the – you're probably the only guy outside of the lawyers who actually read the contract. I don't know if Lori Lightfoot has even read the contract.
She must have somebody who works for her read it.
Yes, but you also read the city's report on aldermanic prerogative. Talk about this, would you?
When the mayor first took office on May 20th, she issued an executive order that is meant to limit the degree to which city departments are supposed to let aldermen decide – things that arguably these departments have purview over, such as the Department of Planning and Development, Streets and Sanitation, Housing, Transportation. But it wasn't clear in May exactly how that would roll out. So in her executive order, she required all city departments to issue a report within 60 days saying exactly how this order would affect their procedures. And as far as I could tell, that report came out early last week. And I have not been able to get my hands on it. I have talked to people who have it, who say they'll give it to me, but they haven't given it to me yet.
What a city.
But I do have someone share with me a disclosure of a presentation given to aldermen that show various things that aldermen had sway over.
Okay. Oh, I have my own copy. Thank you.
That now they just have sort of advisory capability.
So this, oh my God, this is secret. This thing looks like it was, it's a picture.
It's a PowerPoint.
Yeah, it's a picture of a PowerPoint.
Yeah.
So this is a PowerPoint that was presented by an official with the Lightfoot administration to aldermen in private. This was not a public meeting.
Correct.
And this was the world as it will be under Lori Lightfoot with aldermen a prerogative thrown out the window. And let me just say this, personally, I believe this is a completely, totally made up issue that somehow or other the public has fastened on. They've all the problems we have in the city of Chicago, I would not put alderman a prerogative in the top 10. Where would you place it? Do you think it's a serious issue? Do you disagree with me on this point?
I think if you look at this list, there are certain things I'm not too concerned about, but there are some things I am concerned about. Let's take a look at this first area here, Department of Planning and Development.
Go ahead.
This shows about, I don't know, 10 items that say instead of the alderman essentially having to bless these things, with a letter of support, prerogative, if you will, they now have input. So the Department of Planning gets to decide all these things with aldermanic input, which they could choose to ignore. And if we go halfway down the list, we'll see tax increment financing designation, TIF district, TIF redevelopment agreements, TIF intergovernmental agreements. So that could go either way in terms of good or bad. Before, aldermen could essentially say yay or nay on a TIF district, arguably.
That's actually not true. Nothing has changed. For instance, the way a process works, if the city of Chicago, if the mayor of the city wants to create a TIF, he or she proposes the TIF. It goes through, there's a series of rubber stamp approval process, which you've written about. You know them very well, Joint Review Board, Community Development Commission. The alderman has a role in that, as the alderman may sponsor a local community meeting on it. The alderman then can report back, this is the old days, to the Community Development Commission, to the Joint Review Board, of what people said at that meeting. But he or she does not have, never had like a statutory veto power on it. It was just one voice in the chorus. Now, in the past, they've said that voice was very important. But as I've written about many times, and you and I talked about many times, if the mayor of the city of Chicago wanted to overrule an alderman on a TIF, the mayor would overrule it. We just saw this happen with the 78. In the 78 TIF, a humongous TIF deal that the city of Chicago passed on the last day of Mayor Rahm's mayoralty, the alderman of the city of Chicago, Danny Solis, was hidden. He was in witness protection. Who knew where he was?
But he didn't say no.
He didn't say no, but the incoming alderman.
He wasn't the alderman.
He was the person elected by the people.
Byron Sixto Lopez was not yet the alderman.
Yeah. So this goes to show you there is no aldermanic prerogative. The alderman elect, who was waiting to be sworn in, was ignored. The alderman.
He wasn't the alderman. My point, Ben, is that wouldn't you agree with me that no tax increment financing district has ever been approved where the alderman said no?
Well, yes, but the alderman's position on that TIF is the least important thing. The most important thing in any TIF deal is the mayor's position. So, for instance, going back to Byron Sixto Lopez, you're making a distinction where there is none. He was the elected official of the people in the 25th Ward. That TIF deal was in the 25th Ward. He vehemently said he did not want the TIF to be passed. He wanted an opportunity to review it, and they voted for it anyway. The sitting alderman, Danny Solis, who had gone and disappeared because he was caught wearing, it was revealed that he was wearing a wire and taping secretly at Burke, had no comment on that particular TIF because he was in hiding. So there was no support or opposition from the sitting alderman, and the alderman elect was against it, and they still passed it, which goes to show you.
Let's move from talking about the past to moving to talking about the future.
But the point I'm making is that this is why I'm saying alderman of Prague, in my humble opinion, is an exaggerated problem in the city of Chicago, because in reality, it's the mayor's office that's always had the veto over things. It's not the alderman. And yet, when Mayor Lightfoot wanted to make it seem as though she was reforming Chicago, she turned aldermen into the scapegoats and said she's going to get rid of aldermen of prerogative. When in fact she would still have the power, if she wanted to implement a TIF over an alderman. Do you agree with that point?
I don't.
Okay.
So just based on two things.
Yes.
One is past experience. As I said, there has been no tax increment financing district that has passed in Chicago over an alderman's objection.
That's because they're all on board with the mayor.
So this is why I say what's going forward is more important.
Yeah.
Now there are a number of aldermen who won't go along. Arguably, right? There are aldermen such as Byron Sixto Lopez who are less inclined, I think you would agree, to go along with the mayor just because the mayor wants, say, for example, a tax increment financing district. So now that that's in place, that there are some, whatever you want to call them, renegade aldermen or aldermen who are less likely to be a rubber stamp, now what we have is we don't require your letter of support anymore. You just have input. Mm-hmm. See what I'm saying? These aldermen who now are less likely to agree have less of a voice.
Yeah, and I'm simply saying they never had veto authority. Their letter of support, which is interesting, letter of support, that they call it letter of support. They don't even call it like your opinion. They call it letter of support as though automatically it would be a letter of support. I'm saying that
I think we're being a dead horse.
Yeah.
We can agree to disagree.
All right. We're just going to move on. I don't believe the aldermen were the pivotal force in any of these matters. The minor matters, perhaps, because the mayor doesn't care. But in general, I believe the mayor has
stations?
More. What's that?
Divvy stations?
That's a relatively minor. I said the minor matters. Yeah. Divvy stations. Yeah. Or like an awning, for instance. I think under Mayor Lightfoot that's what I was going to ask you. So a demolition application, does that now require an alderman's approval, or does the alderman have a role in that at all?
That is the same as all the rest of them, is that they're notified, but they don't have to approve. They get input. One of the things you asked me about earlier was permits, which are not identified on this list. So I'm waiting to see the memo that comes out from the city that specifically addresses the entire planning process from development inception to implementation. This is a rather broad strokes. And there are aldermen who are wondering the same thing. Like,
I think I told you this. After the story broke that Mayor Lightfoot was going to change the way the city operated and take a lot of the authority away from aldermen, I got a call from somebody who goes, do we go to our alderman for a block party permit, or do we go to the city? The things people ask me, right? Well, you should know. And I said, I do know. I would still go to the alderman for a block party permit. You'd probably get a phone call back, if nothing else. Do you know if block party permits fall?
I think that's on here. Dead air. We're both perusing list here.
So did you think it's block party permits are...
I think that's still... This is also of the piece of having city approval, and the aldermen can weigh in. But like the bounty house, you know, that's still going to be. See, where did bounty houses come from? Department of Cultural Affairs, special events, I think.
So SSA appointments and budgets, these are all
special
Department of
Play, areas.
Special service areas, TIF designation, Small Business Improvement Fund. Has any of this been approved?
It went into effect July 19th.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, this memo that details exactly how the departments are going to proceed is out there. Apparently, the aldermen have it. It's not clear yet they can make it public. I'm trying to get it. When they do get it, it'll be on shigov.com, shigov.com.
Dave Glowatz is my guest. Mr. Bike, he is breaking down on what is changed with the alderman and prerogative. We have a vehement disagreement on it. I say it's a non-existent issue that's made up by Mayor Lightfoot. Dave Glowatz says it's a very existent issue that was not made up by Lori Lightfoot. When we return, we're going to have a conversation about something we agree on, Lincoln Yards.
Welcome back to the Ben Jarofsky Show. Mr. Jarofsky, take us home.
Yes, indeed. Dave Glowatz is with me. Mr. Bike, we were talking about alderman and prerogative. Dave, let's talk about the Lincoln Yards deal. You've reported extensively on this huge TIF deal, which was passed, what was it?
April.
April. God, time is flying. We'll commit hundreds of millions of dollars to redevelop one corner of the city. That's right near the Hideout, where I'll be tonight at 6:30.
54 acres between Cortland Avenue to the north, North Avenue to the south, the river to the east, and roughly Elston to the west.
And a lawsuit was filed shortly thereafter. Give us the update on all this.
Well, as your listeners might know, the Lincoln Yards development is going to be something around 6,000 residential units, tens of thousands of commercial square feet. Being developed over the next 10 years, and there's a city subsidy about $1.3 billion, which will go to the developer, Sterling Bay, to build things like roads, bridges, an extension to a bike trail, the 606 trail, through and in Lincoln Yards. That work hasn't been done yet, though a contract has been signed between the city and Sterling Bay. That contract is called the Redevelopment Agreement. But in the midst of all that, right after the contract was signed, two nonprofit organizations, Grassroots Collaborative and Raise Your Hand for Illinois Public Education, folks from which you've had here on your show, filed a lawsuit against the city. They're trying to do two things. They're trying to stop construction of Lincoln Yards with an injunction and the approval of any further tax increment financing districts. And they have three bases in their lawsuit for this. I have the lawsuit here. Count one of the complaints says that the city has violated the Illinois Civil Rights Act because, quote, the way in which the city designates TIF districts causes a disparate impact on minority communities. the particular TIF district around Lincoln Yards, the Cortland Chicago River TIF district in particular, causes that sort of disparate impact. And what they're talking about simply is gentrification. The second claim is that according to state law, which is the Tax Increment Allocation Redevelopment Act, which has an acronym called TIARA, which is interesting, given that the Crown family is heavily involved in the development of Lincoln Yards. The Act says that a subsidy is not to be provided to an area unless that development would not take place but for the subsidy, which you often call the but-for clause. So in other words, without this subsidy, this thing would not get built. And the plaintiffs say that's not true here, that this is at a very up-and-coming riverfront area sitting smack between Lincoln Park on the east and Bucktown on the west, Logan Square in the northwest, and the subsidy is not needed for building roads and bridges, et cetera. The other allegation the plaintiffs make is that the Act, TIARA, requires the area to be blighted in order to provide the subsidy. And granted, it looked blighted after the existing development, which was the Finkel Steel factory, foundry. Foundry was torn down. It looks blighted. It looks like, you know, the surface of the moon. And there was a city fleet management facility, which was also torn down. So the city claimed that the area is now blighted and so they're deserving of a subsidy.
Okay.
So the plaintiffs say, no, it's not blighted. So it doesn't meet those criteria. So basically the plaintiffs say, stop this thing. Don't let it go further until there's some remedy. They filed this lawsuit shortly after the contract was let in April. Most recently, July 3rd, my birthday, coincidentally, the city filed a motion essentially asking for the lawsuit to get tossed, saying that these plaintiffs have no standing. To quote from their motion, they said, quote, the plaintiffs have not suffered distinct palpable injuries to a legally cognizable interest that they hold, nor is any injury they claim to have suffered fairly traceable to the city's actions, unquote. So the city says lawsuit should be dismissed because essentially the plaintiffs have no cause to say that they're being injured by this development.
What do you think of that response?
Well, that's pretty standard in a lawsuit. Like, who would be an individual who would be injured by this? Let's say some nearby property owner whose property taxes go up because of the rise in property values because of Lincoln Yards. They arguably might have standing, but they're not a party to this lawsuit. I'm just speaking not as an attorney, but, you know, just kind of blue skying here. So in a broad sense, any defendant, which in this case the city, is going to try to get the thing tossed out on the first possible sort of invalidation, this case being no standing. We could also talk about why the Lightfoot administration went down this path.
Yes, good question. Answer that.
Well, the question is invited because Lori Lightfoot took a pretty vocal stand. Mayor Lightfoot, before she was mayor, took a pretty vocal stand against this development and the 78, which is a slightly larger development on the south branch of the Chicago River. So there was some speculation and hope on the part of the plaintiffs that her law department would say, you know what, you're right. Let's not do this. Let's not do this development. Let's stand back and let's see if we can come to some settlement here. But instead, they've done what defendants normally do in these cases, as I say, try to get it tossed due to no standing. Now, I don't know if you know, but I have a little side gig as an expert witness in bike crash cases, but I got my Mr. Bike helmet now. I've been...
Your Mr. Bike helmet. That's
I've been
very well done.
Sort of a bell ringer in certain cases where bicycle riders have been killed or injured, working on behalf of the plaintiffs, where the defendants are motorists. And I know from that experience that the parties always want generally to go to a settlement rather than go to court. Because the more that they go to court, the more that they are likely to incur higher fees for whatever side loses.
I see.
We see this repeatedly in police abuse cases, right? There's almost always a settlement. The lawsuits by citizens against the city and the police department for police abuse cases, police brutality cases, almost never go to court. They're almost always settled by the city and the plaintiffs for tens of thousands or tens of millions of dollars. So to me, this would be a pretty understandable tactic on the part of the Lightfoot administration to just put this first, you know, hurdle up as a tactic to negotiation with Grassroots Collaborative and Raise Your Hand.
So what do you think, ultimately, if it does come down to a negotiation, and you could be right about this, let's assume you are, and it comes down to negotiation, what is Lori Lightfoot looking for from Grassroots? In other words, does she want to continue with the TIF project itself, and then she's looking to see what it'll take to get them to leave? Or does she want to dismiss the TIF deal? Like, what ultimately is her goal out of the negotiation?
I have no clue. I can only speculate. First of all, I don't think Lincoln Yards is going to stop. It's going to get built. Mm-hmm. The subsidy is codified in city ordinance. So that would be a tricky thing to get pulled back. The thing that she has a little bit of, she has some leverage on, which is the thing that I've been interested in from a journalist standpoint, is how quickly and completely the subsidy is provided. And that's where she has wiggle room, because all the subsidy been is for public property, for roads and bridges, not specifically for the development. And the subsidy of $1.3 billion specified in the TIF agreement, the TIF ordinance and the redevelopment agreement, is a ceiling. In other words, they could spend $100,000. It's not a mandated that they spend that. So these tactics might give her start to give her some wiggle room to say, you know what, we're not going to spend $200 million on an Elston-Ashland intersection redo. We're going to spend $100 million. Things along those lines, ways to sort of scale it back a little bit.
I see.
So that's to me the most likely outcome.
So she'll use this lawsuit as a justification to scale back the project and telling the developer, I have no choice. This lawsuit is forcing me to do this. Is where you're going at?
For her, just, you know, trying to play chess here, or maybe poker is the better analogy. Yeah. Here's a Star Trek reference. first series, I'll tell you about it later.
Star Trek reference.
Kirk says, not chess, Mr. Spock, poker.
I always could have a Star Trek reference. So that could be what she's up to. And so
if she just knuckles under to the lawsuit,
yeah.
Sterling Bay could say, whoa, wait a minute. You know, we've got a contract. We've got city ordinance here. Whereas she fights it a little bit, that strengthens her position with Sterling Bay.
Oh, man. These are wheels within wheels.
It's poker.
It's poker. I don't know. I like that chess thing, man. Well, I guess poker could be like a bluff or something like that.
Yeah.
So, and of course, she filed, or her lawyer, the city's lawyers, filed that motion.
On my birthday.
On your birthday. And now we're waiting to hear from the plaintiffs.
The plaintiffs filed a response on August 2nd.
Oh, wow. Just the other day.
And according to the court clerk's website, there's a status call set for August 16th. The reason I smirk is because, having done a lot of reporting in the federal court system, I know that I could go right to the federal court's online case management system and see all the motions. I could read them all in every last detail. We can't do that in Cook County.
Yeah.
The largest county court system in the United States. We could read the dates of the motions, but that's it.
Yeah.
We still can't
find out
exactly what was moved.
Yeah, it's like in the last century in Cook County. Yeah, we'll be following that one closely. Probably have you back. And like I said, Amisha Patel from Grassroots Collaborative was on the show not too long ago talking about that. Was before they had filed their response. So we'll be following this one because you're absolutely correct. A lot of money's at stake, a lot of tax dollars at Lincoln Yards. And it probably has some ramifications for 78, which is interesting. We had Byron Sixto Lopez on there going back to Alderman of Prerogative. The TIF has been created, but now there's a new alderman. It's a very interesting parallel. In the case of Lincoln Yards, almost all the development deals in that area have been put in one ward, the second ward, under the jurisdiction of Alderman Brian Hopkins, one of your favorite aldermen.
We go way back.
Yeah, you go way back. And he's very pro-development. He was the one who championed Lincoln Yards. In the case of the 25th ward, Danny Solis had been the alderman. They put so many mega deals in the 25th ward, figuring, you know, that he would be pro-development. Guess what? He had to leave because he got in trouble for taping Ed Burke's conversations. They got Byron Sixto Lopez in there, who's like the anti-Danny Solis, the anti-Brian Hopkins. So nobody knows what to make of that, if aldermen truly have isn't that interesting? They're getting rid of aldermen and prerogative at the very moment that we have an alderman who's a little skeptical about development.
You're reinforcing my earlier point.
Yes, okay. Well, we're back to that argument. All right. I didn't even get to tell you about my TIFF column, but we'll talk about that next time you're on the show.
Deal.
Very good. Thank you very much, Dave Glotz. And, of course, the man, the myth, the legend, the pride and joy of Alton, Illinois. And Dave, as you know, because you're a longtime guest on this show, you know what they call him back in Alton, don't you?
I do.
Yes, and that is?
That thing you always say.
Yes, white lightning.
That thing you always say.
You did a great job. Give yourself a raise. Take it out of petty cash. See you tomorrow, everybody.